Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day. This is hour number three. We're live Saturday night, November 6, 2010. I'm trying to scrounge up some articles and stuff to read here, and I got my friend JD from Arkansas visiting me, so he's going to come on the mic here and talk a few minutes, but he has his own personal thoughts about what's all going on here. So I'm going to hand the mic over to him. He's going to talk throughout this first segment. We got to get him acclimatized to being a radio talk show host, so here he is.
Hey, folks. It's great to be a part of a great movement, and glad everybody is attentive. Sheldon is, as we speak, in the process of doing some immediate research here, and we hope tonight is entertaining for you, and glad all of you are staying up to listen to the program. I'm sure everyone is probably to some degree perplexed about the phenomenon of our the mass media and the afterglow of what's occurred with the politics in last week's elections, and I hope everyone's satisfied. I know it was kind of a shock in regards to the outcomes for most folks in most areas. Our politics out here in Arizona is probably no different than where you're from and where you're listening from tonight. Don't forget the time change before you go to bed. We're kind of fortunate out here in Arizona. We don't have to deal with a time change. We're going to stay the same. We don't move our clocks forward or backwards. So we will be going on Mountain Standard Time. We've been on Mountain Daylight Time, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll be on the Mountain Time Zone here in another couple of hours. Those folks of us west in California will be moving back an hour, as well as the folks in the Mountain Region, Central and Eastern Time. So don't forget to turn your clocks back an hour. Sheldon and I have been good friends for a number of years, and I may have mentioned to you, if not, I will say I'm kind of somewhat of an Alex Jones follower. I know Sheldon is fairly critical of Jones. I can understand why. Jones basically woke me up to the goings-on, although I was well aware, I guess subconsciously, of the momentum that's been going on for years, and being able to figure out the big picture in our society, in this Western culture of America as we know it. And Jones enlightened me to you know, introducing me to the man behind the curtain, I suppose, for lack of a better, you know, illustration, Wizard of Oz. But I'm very much in tune with the big picture of what's happening. I know all of you that are listening, you're in tune as well. Sheldon's got a great heart, and he's been doing this for a number of years, his research, and he's got quite a few good cohorts out here to help him in his endeavors, and I'm one of them. I'm always finding items in the news media, sometimes underground, sometimes mainstream, to give him ideas about you know, some of the topics on his show. But both of us are well aware that there are earth changes and there are political changes and economic changes that are occurring, and all of us are affected. I know that there are a lot of folks in positions of power and authority over others that I've spoken to that know and are aware that there are things happening that are beyond our control. Sheldon has been pretty much in the forefront of this Planet X theory, and call it a conspiracy if you want. I see now it's not a conspiracy, it's for real. What are the objectives? I don't know. You know, what's going to happen? I don't know. All I can say is we all should prepare and be prepared at any time for anything. And a majority of the sheeple, as Sheldon terms it, it's true, people are sheeple. most folks are not going to be prepared. You should be, and you should be well aware that if something does occur that's detrimental to our civilization and our society, you may, like myself and Sheldon, we may not have a shot at making through the storm, but at least we're aware of what's going on. Think of all the folks out here that are not going to be aware. But nevertheless, be it a real threat or not, Planet X, whatever this phenomenon is, it's occurring. And I believe it's contributing to our earth changes. I know Sheldon has spoken about the great intensity of earthquakes, seismic activity throughout, you know, all over the world, the weather phenomenon, also the massive holes that are occurring with these sinkholes, and the changes in our Earth's crust are occurring literally every day, seemingly at a greater momentum than in times past. So if this is attributed to Planet X and it affecting our Earth, then it is. And it's something that's, to me, I'm starting to, you know, Sheldon always talks about connecting the dots. I'm beginning to see this too. But I'm also seeing a lot of things that are, you know, chemtrails, the hologram imagery, all these things that are, everything's seemingly just coming together. We're seeing the media playing into all of this. And then now, last week, the comet comes out of the news. And I'm thinking to myself, man, Sheldon's been on top of this for, what, a year and a half. And he's been kind of saying, hey, everybody, you need to wake up. There's something here. And Denardi and Moore and all the folks, even Stan Dale, of course, Nori on Coast to Coast talking about this. And, hey, folks, this is real. I don't know what's going to happen here. All I know is that you need to pay attention to the media. I mean, look on the alternative news source sites. But don't forget the mainstream websites, too. I mean, the mainstream networks and you know, the BBC, I get a lot of information, and it's not always on the front page. It's buried, just like in the newspaper. And you know, Alex Jones talks about this, that the real news often really is, you know, the second, third page, or it's buried somewhere. If you see it and you recognize it, hey, you know, they're telling you something. You know, God gave you intuition and intelligence, and if you can read between the lines, as Sheldon often, you know, says, you can pick right up and connect the dots as he speaks up. So I think it's fascinating. Everything is fascinating. But pay attention, and from here forward, every day, listen to the news, and take a few minutes and, you know, evaluate what you're reading and listening to.
figure out what's going on.
What do you think the rule of the Cubsville?
There's a break, folks. We'll be back. Stay tuned. See this, it's got to be at minus 10 to 15. Well, hello, folks. Welcome back to the second segment of the third hour of the Light of Day radio show with your host, Sheldon Day. Before the second hour ended, I was starting to talk about this Simpsons cartoon episode. It aired, it was either 4 or 6 months ago, I can't remember, but, you know, it shows this clock, a big nuclear bomb going off and a clock hitting the ground, and Simpsons jumps out of a hammock and the clock says November 6th. Oh, you know what, I did talk about that before, I remember now. Well, I pull up an article here about Hillary's trip down to New Zealand. It's off KTAR.com, which me and JD here think is a Phoenix-based station. Earthquakes dog Clinton on overseas trips. Christchurch, New Zealand. What is it about Hillary and earthquakes? Seems that the Secretary of State rarely takes an overseas trip that is not in some way affected by a trembler. Clinton and her staff were jolted from sleep in their hotel rooms in New Zealand early Saturday by a strong aftershock from a 7-magnitude quake that struck in September. It was the second aftershock since she arrived here Friday. Oh, wow, I didn't even know it was the second one she had felt. 3 days earlier, she may not have felt the earth move under her feet, but a 6.0, which in actuality is a 7, folks, rattled villages in Papua New Guinea as she was wrapping up a visit over there. Those seismic events were at least the third, fourth, and fifth to have hit countries while Clinton was visiting. On her first trip abroad as America's top diplomat in February 2009, Clinton was shaken awake by a minor quake in Japan. 4 months later, she felt a 5.0 in the Honduras. Then in October 2009, tremors struck Pakistan while Clinton was there. And those are just the ones she's been present for. Days before Clinton was to visit Chile in March of this year, an 8.8 quake caused severe damage in the South American country, forcing her to cancel plans to spend a night in Santiago. But she still made a brief stop in Chile to get a look at relief efforts, much as she did in January after Haiti was devastated by a powerful quake. And then I'm looking at a picture over here. It says U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton gestures during an event on Antarctic cooperation at the U.S. Antarctic Program Center on Friday in Christchurch. And I got to telling John DiNardo about that, and he said, yeah, right, she's probably there being briefed about the South Pole Telescope, because that's the big hot item in the Antarctic right now. Well, my friend JD here had sent me an article about holograms, something about a breakthrough in holographic technology, and so, you know, I've talked about this on past shows, that they may actually pull off some holographic imagery projection to fool us into a fake extraterrestrial threat of some kind at some future point. I don't think I have that. Did you want to talk about that quick?
Well, the BBC was doing a special on it. It was kind of a profile of the hologram imagery and the technology behind it and how it's affecting not only, you know, the military, but they're using it in mainstream. I personally believe they're probably using it in third world country, probably for military purposes. And if you shoot up an image of Muhammad in a third world Islamic country, people are going to get excited. And I'm sure, you know, they shot an image of Jesus or Abraham, and in our country or in Israel, people are going to get excited. I can actually see that affecting the way people, you know, people live and how they would react. It's going to create a pandemonium. The BBC had a little profile on it, Sheldon, and you might be able to pull it up on the BBC. It's under Science and Technology, and I sent you a link. And
yeah,
I see you're having difficulty finding it, but we've got so many interesting tidbits of information here that we're thumbing through. Some stuff is actually coming in as we speak. It's great. Great radio here, folks. Hope everyone's enjoying themselves tonight. I'm kind of curious what you guys, you're listening to Sheldon, what do you think about you know, the things that Sheldon talks about? It's got to be pretty exciting for some of you. I know you, I myself included. And it's great to have freedom of speech, man. Thank God for our Constitution here. Thank God we were able to come on here in the wee hours of the morning, for those of you in the East and Central time zones, to talk about this stuff. And I'm kind of pushing Sheldon for setting his studio here up with the folks at Orion so that we can take phone calls, because I'd like to be his board operator and be able to screen the phone calls and have him come in so we can have some lively discussion. And
okay. Yeah, here's a email he had sent me about the hologram messaging coming of age. I found this on the BBC while at work. I'm going to pull that up right now. We'll be coming back into the bottom of the hour break here, maybe in about a minute or two. We'll try to get this covered, and then I'll come back on and talk about chemtrails. Hologram Messaging Coming of Age by Jonathan Amos, science correspondent of the BBC News. Streaming holographic images in near real time. It has long been a staple of science fiction films, the idea that you could send a moving 3D representation of someone to any location, even on another continent. Now U.S. researchers claim this fantasy is very close to reality. The University of Arizona team says it has devised a system that can make a holographic display appear in another place and update it in near real time. The group tells the journal Nature that the development has huge potential. That article goes on and on, but you know, whatever they're telling us, they're a lot more ahead than what they're even telling us. So just think how high tech it really is. And remember, I was telling you folks that they're going to roll out all this high tech black ops technology when the Earth changes kick in. They're going to be patrolling the surface world with their, you know, their aerial drones and what have you. There was a humongous sinkhole that opened up in Germany. Let's see here. Well, that break will be kicking in any second. Massive crater opens up in a town over in Germany. This was dated Monday, November 1st. Berlin, a crater some 65 feet deep has opened up in a residential area of an eastern German town, swallowing a car and a garage door, but causing no injuries. Now, you remember, folks, I was talking about the harbor that collapsed into the sea down in Brazil a few days ago. Well, that may have actually been a sinkhole. Well, back to this article. Emergency services were called to the scene in some town I'm not even going to try to pronounce at about 3 a.m. on Monday by a resident who reported hearing unusual noises. 6 houses and 25 people were evacuated. Somebody out of the state's environment and geology office over there said it was not immediately clear why the ground gave way. The German news agency reported the crater measures 98 feet by 98 feet. Well, there's the bottom of the hour break. We'll be back, folks. You're listening to The Light of Day and Orion. Stay tuned. Yeah, I don't know what happened there, folks, but I was looking at the Skype here, and it said call on hold. So you might have heard a few seconds of silence. I don't know what's going on. What was I talking about before the break? Do you remember? The sinkhole?
Let's go back and talk a little bit about the astronomers' research and what they're finding out with the Earth changes in regards to the...
Oh, here's something huge. There's a huge media blackout regarding Earth and Moon orbital changes. Unprecedented Earth changes are taking place at this time. There's obviously a suppression going on at the... Well, I even heard on a radio show tonight that Gordon was on, Gordon G., that the sun is actually... it's either rising or setting in a different part of the horizon than it should be. And then I've been coming across this, that there's a huge media blackout regarding Earth and Moon orbital changes. An increasing number of people around the world have witnessed amazing changes in the location of the sunrise and the sunset in summer and winter. Apparently this is being caused by the Earth moving below the old ecliptic plane in summer and above it in the winter. The moon is also playing rodeo. Yeah, the moon is also playing rodeo all over the sky, and the media says nothing. I have read of reports, as yet unsubstantiated, that a gag order is in place, and professionals dealing with the subject have had to sign non-disclosure agreements regarding these facts. The Inuit peoples of the high Arctic have published several stories regarding the changes in the sun position at their locations, and were told by a meteorologist that it is an optical phenomena unique to the extremely high horizon, yet these changes are visible all over the world. Ordinary citizens from all over the world are reporting their observations regarding the sun and moon changing their positions in the sky. And we're not just talking inches here. The changes are amazing to say the least. The furthest north the sun traditionally appeared for thousands of years was the Tropic of Cancer, which passes through central Mexico. Yet now, at the beginning of summer, it can be witnessed to rise in the direction of Maine and set in the direction of Seattle. Well, it says here this is happening in the summer, so this article is a little old, but the fact of the matter is it's still going on. And I do recall John Morshow from the later part of last year. He had maybe two people call into his show and did state that the sun was tracing a different part in the sky than it should be. Well, this would make sense with Planet X coming in. It's actually a big iron cannonball, and its tremendous electromagnetic and gravitational fields will, you know, molest the other planets as it comes in. So it would cause orbital peculiarities in the other planets, like sun and the moon and that. So I'm going to close that article out. This is off of SHTFplan.com. Homeland Security to regionalize emergency supplies over the next 3 months. And this was dated November 1st. From the Independence News reporter, Gregor Dietrich states that a phone interview with Sharon Beiler of the Department of Homeland Security revealed that Homeland Security is stepping up regionalizing disaster supplies. Simply put, they are taking emergency items that are currently centralized in Washington, D.C., and distributing them nationally. Sort of like a mobilization of supplies, their plan is to complete the supply of 15 Homeland Security warehouses around the country in the next 3 months. Ms. Beiler is quoted as saying, "We have worked hard the last 6 months to meet our local objectives." She continued by stating, "The goals of Homeland Security are in sight. It's difficult to know if this is a good or bad omen. No comment was offered as to why this program has been given so much urgency at this time. It's nice to know we're ready, but ready for what?" In a previous report by the author of this article, folks, the author stated that we brought our readers a view of how the U.S. government has been preparing for emergencies and disasters for decades. They've stocked not only food, but built underground bunkers, stored seed varieties to restart agriculture in the event of a global catastrophe, and designed secondary systems of government, for example, the shadow government, martial law. In the event of events such as economic collapse, nuclear war, and even asteroid collisions, the U.S. government is preparing for wide-scale, far-from-equilibrium scenarios is evident. According to some reports, there has been an acceleration within the emergency planning elements of our government as if they are anticipating some type of event in the near future. Anecdotal evidence from freeze-dried food manufacturers and private bunker construction firms indicates that the government is rapidly purchasing supplies, often leading to shortages for civilians trying to do the same. And if you folks recall in that Jesse Ventura Apocalypse 2012 episode, you remember that guy that was giving Ventura the tour at the underground silo there in Kansas? He said that there were times that he couldn't even order stuff from his vendors for the underground shelters. What do you want?
I think this is a wake-up call to everybody, that everybody needs to be preparing themselves. I was listening to the liberal Joy Behar the other night. She had Jesse on as a guest, Jesse Ventura, and he was talking about these conspiracies as part of his new program. And you know what? You know, consider, I figured that she would just like lambast him to say, you're a fool, you're an idiot, you know, get off my show. You know what? She listened to it. And, you know, he began to talk about 9/11. And you know what? She actually kicked back and said, you know what? I'm beginning to believe there's something going on with that. She's part of the left-wing media, right?
Who is that?
Joy Behar. And Joy Behar, John Stewart, all these cats, you know, are they're Marxist-Leninist liberal Democrats, dude. They're totally left. But you know what? They're starting to see there's some snakes out here, and they're seeing the snakes. And they're kind of talking a little bit about this stuff that, you know, previous used to be conspiratorial and in nature and you know, way off the charts. So clearly, after the oil spill and after a lot of the phenomena that's been going on the last year, they're starting to connect the dots, too. So, and Jesse's on to something with his some of his conspiracy theories. But when you read about the government preparing, that should be a red flag for everybody listening to this tonight. And you need to think about, hey, if they're talking about preparing, you need to be talking about preparing yourself. And that means medicine, water, food. Everybody should know how to go online to find these sources to get dry foods and be able to get iodine and whatever medical, you know, supplies that they need in order to take care of themselves for a limited amount of time. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that in my 20 cents there, Sheldon.
All right, thanks, JD. Well, I found an article here about the chemtrail spray that I wanted to read. This was off MondoVista.com. You know, I really starting to believe that the chemtrails are actually being laid over the atmosphere in order to protect us from solar radiation and cosmic radiation that's coming in as a result of Planet X. It actually broke down the sun's heliosphere, so there's going to be a higher incidence of deadly gamma ray bursts in that coming in because that heliosphere has been broken down by Planet X penetrating our system. But anyway, this chemtrail notepad I have open here says the massive injection of toxic substances into the stratosphere ever since the 90s bears a direct relation to the protection of highly sensitive semiconductor technologies. Electromagnetic pulses can be registered in the event of elevated. Well, there's the break, folks. We'll be back. You're listening to Live Dan Orion. Stay tuned.
Oh, they say she died one winter when there came a killing frost, and the pony she named Wildfire busted down its stall. In a blizzard he was lost. She ran
folks, welcome back to the Light of Day. This is the Yeah, this will be the last segment of the third hour tonight. I hope you folks are enjoying the program. Well, back to this article about what I think is really going on with the chemtrail spraying. The massive injection of toxic substances into the stratosphere ever since the 90s bears a direct relation to the protection of highly sensitive semiconductor technologies. Electromagnetic pulses can be registered in the event of elevated aspheric frequencies. I'm not sure what this word means. It's S-F-E-R-I-C, like short for atmospheric, but whatever. It goes on, or other electromagnetic pulses can be registered in the event of elevated aspheric frequencies or nuclear electromagnetic pulses stemming from elevated sun activities. And from our perspective, this is another reason why it is undertaken to repel these aspheric frequencies with the help of toxic substances like aluminum oxides and barium chlorides so as to protect semiconductor technologies. Now keep in mind, folks, that the elites depend on, you know, technology just as much as we do, and they're going to want to try to hold out as long as they can themselves until the earth changes really become severe. So they're going to want to, this may sound really weird, but they're actually trying to protect the earth as long as they can until they have their chance to go underground or go up to the space station or go to their off-world bases or whatever, wherever they're going to go. Article goes on, because the circuits are so incredibly small and function of such extremely low voltages, they are highly vulnerable to outside radiation. Rays from our sun, the atmosphere, and even cosmic rays can and do cause errors in these circuits that can have an impact on the lives and safety of everyone. Keep in mind that chemtrails, folks, became heavily reported back in 1997. That same year is when the near-Earth asteroid graph started to increase almost exponentially. Comet Hale-Bopp was also affecting Earth weather at this time, and I think I've heard that the elites were worried that Hale-Bopp was Planet X, so they might have took preventative measures by seeding the atmosphere just in case it was Planet X. I know this sounds crazy, but I believe the elites are trying to save the Earth, like I said, for as long as they can until Planet X swings by. They depend on commerce just like we do, as John Moore has stated. They can't just shut down everything, but they'll continue to prepare up until the final moment. Astronomers have noticed a massive filament extending from the sun over the past few weeks. Plasma cosmology might suggest that such a solar outburst could be a symptom of space weather further afield. Question is, could there also be a relationship between this plasmic filament and the recent earthquakes, tsunamis, and volcanic eruptions in Indonesia that have claimed over 600 lives in the past 2 weeks? Paul LaViolette is a rare scientist willing to discuss the relationship between astrophysics and geophysics. He says that gamma ray bursts from exploding stars are preceded by powerful gravity bow waves, which, during their passage, induce earthquakes and cause polar axis torquing effects. This is what he says happened during the week of the brightest gamma ray burst in history back in December 2004. Originating from a star near the center of the Milky Way, this gamma ray burst disabled multiple satellites and communications devices, and LaViolette asserts triggered the catastrophic earthquake and the tsunamis in more than a dozen countries. Now, there is a little disinformation embedded in there, folks. These gamma ray bursts are probably in actuality coming from the inbound passage of Planet X, not from the center of the Milky Way galaxy like Mr. LaViolette asserts. With 21 volcanoes suddenly activated in Indonesia, some geologists are now bracing for a major plate restructuring along the same plate which triggered the earthquakes / tsunamis that killed over 230,000 people 6 years ago. In this interview, LaViolette shares more information about gamma ray bursts and their relationship to Earth's cyclical ice ages and how these correlate to traditional world age doctrines that exist in cultures around the world, including Western astrology. Yeah, there's been a tremendous increase in the amount of cosmic rays coming our way. I'm sure a lot of that has to do with Planet X. I don't know if this broadcast has gone out right on the money tonight, but I have noticed a few times my Skype has, you know, showed things like call on hold, and I've noticed a buffering on the stream. I don't know how well this broadcast has gone out tonight, but hopefully everything will be just fine on the recording that Jimmy's captured there at the network. Well, we just have a few minutes left in the broadcast. This is actually show number 33 tonight. I'm looking on my website here. I've done 32 shows on Orion now. Be sure to tune in to John Moore's show on Republic Broadcasting Network tomorrow afternoon. I don't know who his guest is, but it's always good to be tuning in to John Moore's show because he's the guy that really woke me up to the reality of Planet X. Any closing thoughts here, JD, for the audience?
Don't forget Sheldon's website. Very important. Stay abreast of the latest. Sheldon's pretty sharp during the week. I know he's got a full-time job like myself. We both are in the transportation profession. Well, I work in the facet of education. He in private business, but we both are pretty up and up on the latest current events. So stay tuned to that, and be sure to look at his website every other day, if not every day. And you guys take care of yourselves. I'm glad to be a part of the show tonight, and glad to be Sheldon's friend. I hope everybody's having a great life, and just continue doing what you're already doing, and enjoy every moment, every minute. Be with your families, and be attentive. Pay attention to everything around you, and do good onto other people. That's what it's all about. Take care of your family. Take care of yourselves, man. Take care of yourselves, and stay tuned every Saturday night. Sheldon's got it going on right here.
Well, thanks, JD. I also did want to mention the leader of Canada resigned suddenly a few days ago. I believe it was on Wednesday. Then I learned yesterday that the environmental minister in Canada also resigned. So here we have people resigning, people leaving the country. Hillary down in New Zealand and visiting the Antarctic Research Center there in New Zealand, possibly being briefed on what's happening with the imagery from the South Pole telescope, and that's just my opinion. And we got Obama issuing an executive order to replace the current attorney general should anything happen to him. We got the world's longest rail tunnel that was completed in the Swiss Alps over in Switzerland about 2 weeks ago. And I'm sure, that'll be cordoned off for the elite's exclusive use, that rail tunnel in the Swiss Alps, should everything start going to hell. So there's just an incredible amount of dot connectors here that could pertain to the inbound perihelion maneuver of Planet X coming in. You folks may want to check out my Planet X sound bites on my archives subpage. If you haven't checked them out, please be sure to do so. Anything else, JD, we can cover here?
There are signs pointing to a false flag. They've been saying that for some time, false flag.
But what do you think is going to happen with that?
I don't know. It'll be a distraction no matter what. It's all about, like you said, Sheldon, it's about the elitists taking control of all of us lower peoples.
I did want to interject quick by stating that what I think is going to happen here is, this so-called nuclear event is a distraction, because if they just let the cataclysmic Earth changes play themselves out, they're going to lose control of the masses, and the elites don't want that, folks. So what they're going to have to do is carry out some massive false flag terror event in order to get the masses under control before the Earth changes really start getting severe, because they don't want to lose control. And this is something John DiNardo has educated me about, and it really makes a lot of sense.
People to get out of debt, pay off everything you can possibly pay off. Zero out, as I call it.
Yeah, if you can, get all your money out of your ATM and bank account, because there could be a bank holiday here. Before the 14th of the month, I don't like to focus on dates, but... Well, anyway, you've been listening to Live Dan Orion. We'll be back next week. Good night, folks.
The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech.